Let's continue talking about the latest at the University of Maryland, the press conference held this afternoon at the university involving the athletic director and the university president, and to dive deeper into this and figure out some more details on what went on today and where they head now. We welcome in AJ Perez, USA Today sports reporter. And AJ, your first reaction, though, going back to this afternoon, what was said at that press conference?
You don't really see schools or really any entity sports-related take this kind of responsibility and basically admit that their strength coaches, their training staff were at fault. That leaves the door open. It doesn't happen often because the civil liability, you leave yourself up to lawsuits but they want to get out ahead of it. They talked to us in College Park this afternoon after President Lowe and Athletic Director Damon Evans met with the family earlier in the day. They kind of basically told them the same thing they told us, that they were basically in the wrong. Their staff didn't act appropriately, and it led to Jordan McNair's death.
It certainly was. You kind of said it there, but refreshing to see a university, or as you said, any entity, go ahead and lay it all out there and take full responsibility for this. And because of them taking full responsibility, do you expect that in the coming weeks or month that we'll see a settlement then in terms of that side of it?
Yeah, I think I know the McNair family lawyer has said going back to a couple days ago, saying that they're going to file a lawsuit soon. Whether they'll probably still go through with that part unless they can reach a settlement before that. But, the final report's not out yet, and I think there's some, from what I'm hearing from my sources, there's some questions as to the timeline of how quickly they recognized that Jordan was in trouble, which for really, since Corey Stringer died, it's been at least 15, 16, mm-hmm. 17 years. It's been, heat illness has been on the forefront, and I've covered so many of these, going back high school, college, and this is not a new thing, and it's very easy to prevent, and it's very noticeable. And I'm in sports performance. I'm also a personal trainer. We know when someone's not right, to get to just the very start of heat illness, to go to what today we found out was they verified it was a heat stroke. A lot of stuff has to not happen for a person to get to that point.
Well, and that's the thing, and you mentioned your background there, but even someone that doesn't have a background, I think most people growing up, whether you're playing, youth soccer or whatever it may be at any level, where, all right, if someone, is getting overheated or whatever, the first thing you think about is an ice pack or anything like that, and it just seems like even the basics were not done here.
And that goes back to the ESPN story that came out Friday. Was it the culture? Were they pushing players beyond the breaking point? And it's also, this was not a very hot day. May 29th was in the low 80s, I think, mm-hmm. that day. But this kid was 6'4", 320 pounds. That's what he was listed as. Going through, sprints and then having to go through this drill for a position. And it was pretty grueling. And even if it's not 100 degrees outside and it's the 90% humidity, players can get overheated. And I think did the fact that the coaches and the strength coaches are pushing these guys so hard, what factor was that here? We still don't know that, really.
Sorry, talking with AJ Perez, USA Today sports reporter, the latest on Maryland's football program and where they go from here after President Lowe spoke today. And he made a clear distinction, when it came to it was the training staff that made mistakes and not the coaching staff, at least when we're talking about this. I mean, if that's the case, though, why do you think it was just the strength and conditioning coach, the head coach there, that they parted ways with and nobody else even on that training staff yet?
Yeah, some of the training staff was suspended. But the coach, the head strength coach, Court, was the only one that was let bail. I say let go. He said resigned. Couldn't get them to go on the record that they terminated him or forced him out. But if you read the tea leaves there, I think that's what happened. I think they kind of separated, they kind of siloed it in this press conference where they put Durkin to one side and then they put all this blame onto onto the training staff on the other, the athletic trainers and also the strength coaches. And you can't really, they try to do that at the press conference, but you can't. You know, you can't separate the two fully because the culture, and if there is bullying, intimidation, you know, it doesn't matter which, you know, the athletic training staff has to stop that. And if that was the case, and the coaches shouldn't be doing that. And I think now there's another investigation into the bullying part, which is why Durkin has been suspended.
You know, what do you feel like happens with DJ Durkin? Even if you take the bullying part out of it, there's a lot of people out there that say, wait a second, even if you do want to try to make the distinction between the coaching staff and the training staff, and while nobody expects a head coach of a football program to be the one, you know, icing down the player, but still, when you're in charge of the program and assuming that you still have a fairly close relationship with that strength and conditioning staff, I think it's hard for people, including myself, to say, all right, it still happened under your watch, and how do you survive coming out of this if you are looking at your job here for multiple people on staff, let alone the head coach?
Yeah, and we kind of saw that with the OSU situation with Urban Meyer. Durkin brought on Rick Hort, the strength coach that was ended up being forced out or left on his own accord, depending on how you look at it. You know, so that it was his guy, and it was his guy putting these players through these kind of workouts that led to this. You know, that has to come back on him a little bit. And if it's the culture, that's pretty much all him. If what ESPN reported, which I have no doubt, you know, to question
sure
the accuracy at all, is true. I mean, that the story that they laid out, you know, is sad to see in 2018. It's something you think you'd see, you know, 20, 30 years ago in college sports. But, you know, that kind of, and especially in Maryland, where, you know, they're in the lower rung on the Big Ten. You know, if it's happening there, it's happening in a lot of different places, possibly.
Talking with A.J. Perez, USA Today sports reporter. You can follow him on Twitter, @ByAJPerez. And when it comes to President Lowe, who was very emotional at times and passionate throughout his apology and throughout taking responsibility on behalf of the university, what's kind of the background on him for those that aren't familiar in terms of where he stands in all of this as well, and in terms of people's perception of him at the university and around it?
He's pretty well respected. I have not delved a lot into his background, but I think he's we saw today that he's kind of gotten out front of this, and it's in a way that he's been in College Park for a while, in a way that maybe other college presidents wouldn't, or have or I'm gonna say the bravery to do it, but you know, a lot of lawyers would probably tell him not to do what he did today.
Right.
But so that shows that he wants to get out in front of it, and he also said the investigation launched into Durkin and the coaching staff is going to be pretty expedited. So he didn't put a timetable on when this four member panel will have the recommendations, which he said will be acted on by the school as far as Durkin goes. But if we could have it, you know, either start of the season or in the next first couple of weeks of the season.
What do you make of that four-person commission that the university has appointed there to investigate the alleged culture inside that program? And, you know, we knew, I think he announced three of them, but the fourth one is going to be a former coach, but nobody knows exactly who that's going to be yet.
Yeah. We got a couple of former federal judges on there, a former federal prosecutor. So some heavy hitters there. Yeah, the fourth one is a respected retired coach, Lowe said, and also I think he did say he's also a former athletics director. So whoever that fourth person is kind of provides a sports angle on it, whenever they name him, I guess. I think they've shown that, and one of these on the four-member panel was part of the Penn State, worked with the NCAA on the Penn State case. So they have the background, they're pretty respected. So I think it's whatever they lay out is going to be it's going to be taken seriously and probably acted upon by the college.
And you mentioned, you know, trying to expedite this thing because their first game is what, 2.5-3 weeks away?
Yeah, I know, it's not a lot of time. Kind of like we're facing this OSU supposed to have their report back by Sunday or mm-hmm. around then. We're kind of having two of these investigations with two suspended head coaches at the same time. You know, it's and also in the big, both in the Big Ten. It's odd to see. I don't know. I don't remember anything like this in my career, at least.
Lastly for you, AJ, Damon Evans, the AD, why do you feel like maybe he has not also been placed on leave, considering I understand he oversaw the football program, even though prior to actually taking over as the full-time athletic director?
Yeah, I mean, he was actually, yeah, he was kind of, he basically promoted during this summer while, you know, McNair died June 13th, and he was promoted, later on that month. And I think that shows that I think they, you know, even though he had, you're right, you mentioned it, Evans did have some oversight over the football program, and he said he didn't see anything that like was reported by ESPN. He had enough. There was despite the death and everything else that the school felt that he was the right fit. So I think the action today, and the heartfelt message he said today, and looking into the eyes of McNair's parents as he did today. I don't doubt his sincerity of trying to fix this. You could question whether he should have known about this before ESPN had the report.
Mm-hmm.
He seems to have, not become into as nearly as much scrutiny as some other ADs have over the last couple scandals at other schools.
AJ Perez, USA Today sports reporter. Thanks so much for hopping on with us tonight. We appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks for having me.